Well, just a reminder, this is a little refresher I think we'll do each week as we are part of this season of Epiphany. Epiphany begins January 6th with the story of the Magi, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, when they come to visit Jesus and Joseph and Mary, and they recognize Jesus for being much more than a special child, but that he is indeed the Son of God. And what makes this so amazing is the fact that the Magi are Gentiles. They are not people who come from the Jewish faith. They are individuals that come from a different country. And the fact that God has revealed himself to these individuals makes a great statement in the understanding that God intends to include the whole world in on this very special gift that he gives to us in Jesus Christ. And for the Sundays that follow after that day, all have to do with epiphanies. Now, if you don't know what an epiphany is, it's a Greek word that means to make manifest or to reveal. And so we see how Christ is revealed to those whom he encounters in the scriptures. And today, it happens to be Philip and Nathanael that we hear about. When we deal with epiphanies, sometimes it's very difficult to recognize when something has happened, because sometimes it takes us a couple of days to realize, oh my goodness, that was a moment, something that opened my eyes to a very special thing. In our readings for this day, particularly in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have with Samuel and Eli, it's more of a wait and see. And then we get to Philip and Nathanael, it's come and see. With the Samuel story, we understand that Samuel is about a 12-year-old boy who is studying under Eli, the priest. And he hears someone calling him, and he goes and he assumes it's Eli. And according to the scriptures, it's that Samuel does not know who God is because he has not made himself known to him. And so Eli, who is an old man, just says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And this happens three times until it registers with Eli that it is God who's speaking to Samuel, and then he gives the words to Samuel to say once he hears his name being called. And Samuel does that, and then he begins to hear God's message for him and for the people of Israel. In our gospel reading, we hear how Jesus calls Philip, and it's very simple. It just says he encounters Philip, and he says, follow me. And Philip does that. He just drops whatever he's doing. He follows him, and he is so enthused about this understanding, this connection with Jesus, he runs to tell Nathanael, and in his excitement and enthusiasm, he says, we have found the one whom Moses and the prophets have spoken about. Come, see him. And what's Nathanael's response? And I don't make this up. This lesson was not something that we just decided we're going to do because of things that went on. He says, whatever good came out of Nazareth. Whatever good came out of Nazareth. How often do we misjudge and misunderstand when God is giving a message square in our face and we want to write it off, or we want to just kind of push it down, or we just want to ignore it? That's what Nathanael's response is to Philip saying, we have found the Son of God. Philip does not stop there. He just keeps persuading Nathanael to say, come and see, come and see. And I wonder how many times that we have had that opportunity in our own lives where we have encountered God in ways that excite us and enthuse us, and we want to say to our friends, our family, to come and see. Or do we just kind of set it aside as if it's something that's very personal and we don't want to share it, or we're just not sure what to make of it? Yesterday, as we were, Judy and I were getting ready to come for services, I was sitting at the dining room table putting my shoes on, and Judy excitedly says, as she's looking out the kitchen window, she says, there's five deer right outside the window. Come at us. You got to see this. And I'm trying to put my shoes on, and I said, just a moment. She said, no, you got to come now, you know. So I'm hopping over there with a shoe half on and going, and sure enough, there are five deer, one really large one, just right outside the window of our kitchen. It was a neat thing to see. They're always around. We see them at times, but this close was pretty remarkable. How often do you get excited about that when you share things about your relationship with God to come and see? How often do you find yourself saying on Sunday morning, let's go and let's see what happens? Because you never know what's going to happen here, right? You know, to see perhaps one pastor dressed in a robe and another one not. Or, you know, that something special happens in a children's message, or there's something that is shared, or someone confesses to you about something that has occurred in their life, and that you have taken a moment to hear that. Or perhaps because you have come to the adult formation classes, and that you've learned something that has opened your eyes to something. Now, if you didn't do that, if you didn't come, if you weren't a part of that, how is it that you're going to be able to offer others to come and see? And it's God who's constantly challenging us to say, come and see. But there's that human nature in us that wants to say, I've got other things to do. I've got to tie my shoe. I got these things to do. I've got so much work to do in the office, or I've got things to do at home. I don't have time for this. And yet there is God inviting us at every moment to come and see. How much do you take seriously when you look into a mirror and you see your face, that you understand that what you are also looking at is an image of God? Now, that's sometimes hard to comprehend, because if we don't like ourselves, it's like, how could God do this to us? Or when I look in the mirror, I see someone who's getting gray, a little wrinkle here or there. But yet, ultimately, there is upon my forehead that cross that was made at the time of my baptism that says that you have been sealed by the cross, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and marked with the cross of Christ forever, that I am a child of God. And when I witness the things that I see out there in this world, and I see sometimes a world that is very dysfunctional, when people seem to be at odds with each other and don't want to take the time to listen, but only want to say that these are the things that I believe, and therefore, if you don't believe them, then I have no time for you whatsoever. That's not how God has taught us. For God has called each one of us and has been extremely patient with us. At times, we have run away, just like the prophets, and tried to deny and to say, I don't want anything to do with this, and because it's very hard to follow Christ. I don't think Philip had a clue as to what was going to happen once he began to follow Jesus, or Peter, or Andrew, or any of the other disciples. The difficulties and the heartaches that they were going to experience, but they also experienced great joy and wonder and awe. And we are told to come and see. How many of us, as we hear God's call to us, understand that what it is that we do in our life is a call from God? Now, you know, it's very easy, because everybody, you know, when you talk about the fact that, you know, oh, we're going to call a new pastor, that's how we use that phrase, the pastor is called. It's, you know, and for us, it's not a job, it's a calling. But you know what? Your vocation is a calling as well. Whatever you do, God has called you to take upon yourself this way in which to interact with the world. And to understand that it is God who's saying to you, as you work with your partners, as you work with your family, as you work in the community and with strangers, you're also called upon to say, come and see. Come and see. All through this time of Epiphany, we'd like to talk a little bit about God's sightings. We'd like to talk a little bit about our own epiphanies that we've had over our lifetime, maybe something that's happened recently or in the past that has helped us to find our way in following Christ. I don't want you to be uncomfortable, but we are going to ask you to share some of those stories. And I'm going to start off by sharing one that I just experienced a couple of days ago, and it happened to be at a very special service. I had no idea, Joe, that your family, that you had 10 siblings. But when I went to the service for Don Ryan on Wednesday, the service was at Holy Spirit Catholic Church on Lake Michigan Drive, a very modern church. I'd never been there before. And I get into the narthex, and it's the entryway, and it's a lot bigger than ours. I couldn't get my way through there because there were so many people, and they were all talking with each other and having conversation, and there was good stuff that was being shared. I don't know if that's a typical Irish funeral, but it was hard to get through, and I saw Joe and Ruth, and I saw some other folks that I knew and talked, and so finally got my way into the service. And as I was sitting there and listening and experiencing and seeing this huge family sitting down in front, and not only the Ryans, but then what did you call them, the Saronin Six? Yeah, okay. Huge family. And they're all together. And they're all taking part in the service. And Joe, being the oldest, was the one who shared a few thoughts about his dad. And I sat and I listened, and I heard what I already experienced through Don, a true gentleman in Christ. One of the things that I like to say is that two of the first people that I met here at St. Luke's, was one was a member of St. Luke's and the other was of Holy Spirit Catholic Church, because it was Don and Bev Ryan. But as I was listening to Joe, I realized what a marvelous speaker he is. And he jokingly said as we were leaving after the service, he said, how'd I do as an ordained Lutheran pastor? I said, well, I'm not sure about that, but I know we got an assisting minister and a lector on the way here. Now, God moments don't need to be something that is particularly jarring, but just simply that really helps you to recognize how the love of God works within a family and works within friends and neighbors as we're drawn close to each other in moments such as this. God sightings are helpful ways for us to understand how God is active in this world, that he's not sitting back and just letting it kind of spiral out of control. And it may seem like there are those days that things are happening that way, and we can't understand why people would react in ways that they do. But that's where you and I are called to step up and to say something, to be able to go back and like the wise men, as they hear what Herod's plan is, they go back by a different route because they don't want to jeopardize the Christ child. But they go back and they glorify God. It's the same thing with the shepherds and the night that Jesus is born. And for us, after we conclude this service, and the fact that you are reminded how God has loved you through and given you these visible signs, these gifts that says, you are my children through baptism, and I want you to know that how much I love you through the gift of Holy Communion, of how Jesus poured out his life for us, that aren't we of that mindset to leave this place and to give thanks and praise to God and want to say to others, come and see. To get away from mindsets that sometimes blind us to these very acts and these wonders that God provides for us. So I want to invite you to share some God sightings and ways in which we are able to come and see, to see the wonders of what God provides for us, to see how God is at work in our lives. So these are all moments that you have shared with us, and we wouldn't know these things. Come and see. Come and see and experience how God has blessed us in our lives and how God pushes us forward. Even at times that we don't want to do things, God is here. God is present. God blesses us continually. I encourage you to be like Philip and to ask and invite others to come and see. Amen.